Prepare the way, O Zion. Your Christ is coming near. Let every hill and valley a level way appear. Greet one who comes in glory, foretold in sacred story. O blessed is Christ that came, in God's most holy name. Advent hymns dwell in my head this time of year, and especially this one this week. And I diligently try to not let them get pushed aside by Christmas carols. And also our Advent scriptures. I think today's readings are my favorite. From Isaiah, we hear a voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Let me see. There's our highway. Make straight a highway for our God. From Mark, John in the desert crying out, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." And our Pollock calling us to listen to the prophets, to the messengers of God, calling us to repentance. So we are prepared to greet with joy the coming of the Christ. So we are prepared to greet with joy the coming of the Christ. I have a story. Many years ago, my husband Frank and I had an encounter with the highway. It's not the 101 kind of highway or this nice smooth highway here that we drive on, but it was an actual wilderness highway. There's a state campground not far from Lake Tahoe on the Nevada side of the mountain range. It's called Grover Hot Springs. It's situated by a wonderful hot spring, fancy that. And that hot spring is set up for public bathing now and for swimming, and it's just a delicious place to go to after a long day of hiking. There are several trails that begin around the perimeter of the campground, and there's one in particular trail that we hiked three times at three different years, trying to reach a little lake situated high above the valley. And each time we had a wonderful day of hiking, but we failed to reach our goal. There were too many stops to pause and reflect and breathe and to look around and be present. The climb is a hard climb. It's steep, it's rocky. There's switchback after switchback. It's hot when out of the shade of the trees. One hike, I was astonished to see coming towards us a young man on a mountain bike, riding it no less down this rocky, steep, narrow grade. But really astonished me on those times that we hiked that trail in a much deeper way was the realization that we were hiking a part of the Fremont Carson Trail, a trail used by settlers to move into California. It's so difficult for me to imagine the hard work and the energy and the persistence and the desire of the people that passed that way. Rocks still had to be hewn as they made their way, you know, moved out of the way, big boulders to move the way to make the trail wide enough for the wagons. They must have had to walk a great portion of it, leading children and animals, and I kept imagining wagons tumbling down the side of the hill. How slow and torturous a climb to the top it must have been, and then down the other steep side, and I don't know if you've hiked a lot, but sometimes going down is slower and more arduous than going up. How often, I imagine, they might have prayed for the mountains and hills to be made low, and the uneven ground level, and the rough places of plain. But somehow people made it to California. That trail scouted out and prepared for them by Fremont and Carson was enough. It was enough for them to keep moving forward. That really continues to challenge my imagination. These people had a vision. They were not just going on an errand or a day hike or even a longer backpacking adventure. They were traveling forward, hopefully to find a new way of life. Traveling on a literal highway, scouted out and prepared as best as circumstances allowed at that time. The key reality here in this Advent season to that story and our Advent readings is the way was prepared for them. The way was prepared for them. So often, I know when I hear today's theme, I forget that part. When we hear the theme trumpeted out in music and verse, prepare the way, O Zion. I start thinking that I'm the one being called to build the highway. We're the ones being called to build the highway. And I have to remind myself that that's mistaken Advent thinking. Today's proclaimers of God's word are not telling us to get out and build the highway to Bethlehem or anywhere else. They're telling us that the road is already prepared, and it has been for a long time. What we're being told to do is to repent. To repent. To acknowledge that we've made a way, maybe far away, from the God-centered life that could be ours. Then turn around and begin the journey anew along the way already prepared for us. The reading from Isaiah is a scene describing God's decree of forgiveness and salvation for exiled Israel. The voices in the first five verses are actually those of heavenly courtiers implementing the decree. The assembly in heaven is commanded to build the road, to prepare the way, so that Israel can return home to Jerusalem and proclaim to the nations the power and compassion of their God. A God whose fullness cannot be comprehended. A God who comes with power and majesty. Oh yes, yes, but is also a lowly shepherd, gently leading the flock home. In the Gospel of Mark, John the Baptist is the messenger of God and the one preparing the way for the people of Jerusalem. The people are back in Jerusalem, yes. They're in the sacred city, but they're lost again. They're lost from their God, now mediated to them through many hollow religious observances. So what does John do? He calls them out of the city into the wilderness. And there he calls them to repent and be baptized. He's preparing the way, preparing them to meet the one who is coming, the one more powerful than he. Repent, be baptized, and wait. Wait for the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The one who will bring you into the real presence of God will bring the real presence of God into you. Again, the way has been prepared for them. The choice is theirs. The choice is to repent, to turn around, point themselves in the direction of God, away from their selfish needs or the fears of the world, and wait. Await the one who is coming. And of course, as always, we have a choice also this second Sunday of Advent. And that choice is not about highway building. It's not about adding more things to our holiday to-do list. It's not about getting out there today before things, you know, shut down a little bit more tomorrow. It's not about feeding our fears and anxiety regarding the world around us. And it's not about adding guilt to the mix, because sometimes we just feel so useless and so bored, sad maybe, confused, angry. Not about adding more things, not about feeding our fears, not about adding guilt. Our choice is about repentance, whether or not to turn back to God, to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to what God has already prepared for us, whether or not to take the time to catch the prophet's visions, letting them speak to us of God's power, God's compassion, God's forgiveness, God's love. Love that took on flesh, became incarnate, present, Emmanuel, God with us. I borrowed a suggestion of how to make that choice, to open our ears, our eyes, our hearts. And the suggestion is called goat walking. Have you noticed the goats sometimes on that road between Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo, the goats that are out in the field? So it gives us some idea of goat walking. And to be more specific, the suggestion, especially for Advent, is called goat walking to Bethlehem. Now, a successful goat walk requires three things from us, according to my source. Those three things are to do nothing, go nowhere, and lose hold. Do nothing, go nowhere, lose hold, let go. That sounds like an excellent description, maybe, of goats meandering through a pasture, but it sure runs counter to our good old Protestant work ethic, doesn't it? Do nothing, go nowhere, lose hold. Doing nothing in our Advent context really means allowing ourselves to be fully present, to be fully awake to the present, considering each moment as God-filled, and allowing ourselves to experience God in our own souls, our own beings. Fully awake to the present, considering each moment, no matter what it's bringing us, as God-filled. Going nowhere means letting ourselves sit more than walk or run, gather more than sow, take what God offers rather than grabbing for what we can or what we want. Sit more than walk or run, gather more than sow, take what God offers. And then lose hold, let go. Stop trying to take charge and allow God to take over. That's probably the hardest one. Let go. Stop trying to take charge, allow God to take over. For the highway is already prepared for us. So again, our work is to repent and prepare. For what? To celebrate. To repent and prepare to celebrate with joy the coming of the Christ. So let's try goat walking to Bethlehem this Advent. Doing nothing, going nowhere, losing hold, letting go, at least for some part of the day, each day. The way is prepared, and God is beckoning. Amen.